Chapter 14. Micah, the Friend of the Poor. News spreads with amazing rapidity in the East. Without any organized systems, from mouth to mouth passes the tidings of an event, and soon the whole country is aware of it. So it was that into a village in western Judah, where the hills slope down toward the sea, providing a fertile lowland, there came one day the dread tidings that a conquering Assyrian army had appeared in northern Palestine. It was a little more than a dozen years since Hosea had warned the northern people of their doom, but Samaria, the gay capital, had laughed at his forebodings. Now Shalmaneser was coming. Egypt, which had been expected to give help, had made no move. Samaria was doomed. Micah lived in that village of western Judah, and he heard the news with an awful sinking of heart. He knew what it meant. He saw already Samaria in ruins and the people of Israel carried away to be slaves in Assyria, and he saw what might follow for his own land. He knew that Isaiah, who was then preaching in Jerusalem, had threatened that the Assyrian would come against the north, and if he intended to make assault upon Judah, all the little towns and villages that Micah knew and loved, whose inhabitants were his friends and neighbors, would be ruthlessly ravaged. Micah went into his own home when the messenger from the north brought the ill news. In prayer and thought, he pondered on the meaning of the events. Then he came out with a sermon for the people. He wanted them to feel strongly that this awful fate of Samaria was a judgment for her sins. He began his sermon in a strikingly dramatic style. It must have surprised the simple village folk as he called upon the whole earth to recognize that Jehovah was executing justice in these movements of war. Hear, ye peoples, all of you. Hearken, O earth, and all that therein is. And let the Lord Jehovah be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, Jehovah cometh forth out of his place, and will come down, and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be melted under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, as waters that are poured into a steep place. Therefore I will make Samaria as a heap of the field, and as places for planting vineyards. And I will pour down the stones thereof into the valley, and I will uncover the foundations thereof. And all her graven images shall be beaten to pieces, and all her hire shall be burned with fire, and all her idols will I lay desolate. Then his voice changed to lament, as he realized that the sins of Judah were not less than those of Israel, and that the same fate must come upon her. For this will I lament and wail. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the jackals and a lamentation like the ostriches, for her wounds are incurable, for it is come even unto Judah, it reacheth unto the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. But before any evil came upon Jerusalem, Micah knew that the villages, unfortified and unprotected, must fall before the ruthless enemy. So he closed his sermon by calling the roll of the villages and lamenting the sad fate that was in store for them. Micah in the country was in a position to see the worst evils of that awful system of selfishness which Isaiah was denouncing in the city. The wealthy nobles of Jerusalem had used their money in buying up the farms and pasture lands of Judah. They had taken advantage of the poverty of the peasants to lend them money at high interest and thus secure their lands upon mortgage. They had cheated them in paying for crops and cattle, and when lawsuits had arisen, they had bribed the judges. Micah was living among the poor peasantry and saw their pitiful poverty and their dependence upon the nobility. And he saw the careless confidence of the rich who supposed themselves secure in their high position and that nothing could harm them. Micah felt that he must preach against these iniquities. His sermons are most scathing. He preached one on the greedy oppressors. He began it with denunciation. Woe to them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. and they covet fields and seize them, and houses and take them away, and they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. And then he told them that the day of security would soon pass away, and the very land which they had secured wrongfully should become the property of the enemy. Therefore thus saith Jehovah, Behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye walk haughtily, for it is an evil time. In that day shall they take up a parable against you, and lament with a doleful lamentation, and say, We are utterly ruined. He changeth the portion of my people. How doth he remove it from me? To the rebellious he divideth our fields. Naturally, such bold language was not approved by the respectable men of wealth. They told Micah to cease his prophecies, and not to suppose himself the only man that knew the will of Jehovah. They themselves were full of faith, and indeed were quite confident that Jehovah was strong enough to take care of those who trusted him. Micah replied to their self-satisfied faith by telling them that they had no moral right to expect God's help. The distress would not come because Jehovah was not able to help, but because they were not worthy of his help. Micah did not mince matters, but accused the landowners of sheer robbery. But of late my people is risen up as an enemy. Ye stripped the robe from off the garment from them that pass by securely as men averse from war. The women of my people ye cast out from their pleasant houses, from their young children. Ye take away my glory forever. Then they answered their pretense that they were truly seeking God's message. With scorn he told them that the kind of preacher they wanted was one who would encourage them in their drunkenness. To such a man they would give honor. If a man walking in a spirit of falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. Micah was not overstating the case. He had seen a man work hard all the year to raise a crop of wheat or barley, and then the king's officers had taken a portion of it for taxes. The landlord had taken most of what remained for rent, and the farmer and his family were left in actual hunger. He had seen a wealthy man, without a shadow of right, claim the ownership of a farm upon which a simple man was living. The case was tried before the judge, who had been bribed by the wealthy claimant, and the poor man's property had been taken away from him. It was evils like this that made Micah's blood boil and convinced him that nothing but heavy punishment could be expected. Instead of being silenced by the demand of the rulers to cease from prophecy, he prepared a still more vehement sermon. Language descriptive of selfish tyranny could scarcely be stronger than his, as he declared that the oppressors were eating up the people. And I said, Here I pray you, ye heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? Ye who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them and break their bones and chop them in pieces, as for the pot and as flesh within the cauldron. With awful solemnity, the prophet added the warning that those who practice such evils need not pray, for God would not hear them. Then shall they cry unto Jehovah, but he will not answer them. Yea, he will hide his face from them at that time, according as they have wrought evil in their doings. These words of the stern prophet might have produced some effect, but unhappily there were other preachers who had a different message. They were men who preached for money. They had only good words for the wealthy. They assured them that all was well. They reserved their stern words for the people who could give them no fees. Micah did not hesitate to denounce these hirelings. He told them the awful truth that if a man failed to seek the truth and to speak it, the time would come when the truth would be hidden from them. Micah's words against the false prophets are full of meaning. Thus saith Jehovah concerning the prophets that make my people err. They bite with their teeth and cry, peace. And whoso putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against him. Therefore it shall be night unto you, that ye shall have no vision, and it shall be dark unto you, that ye shall not divine. And the sun shall go down upon the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. And the seers shall be put to shame, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. But Micah was sure of his own message, because he was sure that he only wanted to speak the truth as God gave him to see it. So he added in glorious confidence, but as for me, I am full of power by the Spirit of Jehovah, and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. While Micah was preaching calamity, the nation seemed to be increasing in prosperity. Especially was this true in the capital, where extensive building operations were making Jerusalem beautiful and stately. Moreover, the costly worship of the temple was going on, and all the leading people were expecting Jehovah to help them. Micah preached them a sermon on this prosperity, in which he told them that while the money to build their fine buildings was at the cost of blood, while the judges received bribes and the priests and prophets cared only for money, there was no value in their religion. It was a solemn word that he spoke. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, that abhor justice and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with blood and Jerusalem with iniquity. The heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet they lean upon Jehovah and say, is not Jehovah in the midst of us? No evil shall come upon us. And then Micah uttered a word different from anything that Isaiah was saying. Isaiah's messages were stern enough, but he believed that in all the calamities, the city of Jerusalem would be safe. Micah, looking at conditions from his village home, took an even more serious view of the rottenness of the city life. He solemnly declared that the capital would be destroyed because of the wickedness of its rulers. Therefore shall Zion, for your sake, be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of a forest.